There are some people that would have you not use certain words.
Opinions expressed are solely those of the presenter and may not reflect the views of CITR Radio or the University of British Columbia.
Bad words.
Shit, piss, fuck, cock, cocksucker, mother, and tits. Wow.
This program may contain language that some listeners find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Tits doesn't even belong on the list, you know?
Jake, you're back!
Shut your face! I came back for the music.
Welcome back to the music.
Hello, welcome back to the Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to the CIT Archive Show.
Oh my goodness. Whoa, it's a thing.
It's a thing. I'm not Sophie today, but actually I am Sophie today for now.
You are.
But yeah, we've got lots to talk about today. We are here today on the ancestral and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people, specifically the Musqueam people, and we're broadcasting to all people everywhere.
We are.
Hello. Today we're going to talk a little bit about elements, which is... Do you want to mention what it is?
So Elements Magazine was a magazine that came out of CITR, and it ran from May 1995 to December 1996. It was a very kind of do-it-yourself thing. It was very DIY because it was mainly ran by two names you may recognize if you are from Vancouver and listen to radio, DJs Flip Out and J Swing. This is where they got their start. They named it after the four elements of hip-hop. It was MCing, DJing, B-boys, and graffiti. And before that, they already had a show at CITR called Aptly. It was just called The Show.
The Show?
Yeah, just The Show. And
awesome.
So they felt the need to begin coverage of hip-hop in Canada, as they felt like it was very scarce at the time, and frankly still kind of is. And also they want to give more shine to graffiti artists in Canada and also to the B-boy subculture as well. But they felt that they felt it was good because they didn't need to cover on like the politics of it, because there were already like publications doing that, like Source Magazine and things like that in the States. And yeah, that's how they started.
Nice. There were only eight issues.
Yeah.
In those eight issues, four of them have interviews with A-list celebrities.
Yeah. Including The Far Side.
Outkast.
Mobb Deep.
Who else?
Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe and...
De La Soul.
De La Soul.
Helter Skelter. Who else?
Raekwon.
Ghostface
Killer.
Busta Rhymes.
Lot of interviews.
In eight issues.
That's crazy to get all of that.
Which is why we're talking about it today.
Just handed to you.
Just handed.
Yeah.
God came down.
It's right in your lap.
We'll get more into the privilege dynamics of that. But for now, we could be kind of silly and saying, it was just so fun back then, wasn't it?
Probably was, you know.
Yeah, it's so much fun back then.
Can you imagine being just in your early 20s and all of a sudden you're just interviewing these...
Being a white Vancouver boy,
yeah.
In love with the hip-hop world, and the hip-hop world comes to you.
Exactly.
And this was one of the songs, one of the artists that they first interviewed. Enjoy.
Let's get into it.
For real, because who ain't got no feelings. Check it out now. I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers. The mob comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got enough shots to share for all those who wanna profile and pose. Rock you in your face, stab your brain with your nose bone. You all alone in these streets, cousin. Every man for theyself in his land, we be gunning. And keep them shook crews running like they supposed to. They come around, but they never come close to. I can see it inside your face, you're in the wrong place. Cowards like you just get their whole body laced up with bullet holes and such. Speak the wrong words, man, and you will get touched. You could put your whole army against my teammate. I guarantee you it'll be your very last time breathing. Your simple words just don't move me. You're minor, we major. You're all up in the game and don't deserve to be a player. Don't make me have to call your name out. Your crew is featherweight. My gunshots will make you levitate. I'm only 19, but my mind is older. When the things get for real, my warm heart turns cold. Another nigga deceased, another story is told.
Hey yo, done spark the Philly, so I could get my mind off these yellow back niggas. While they still alive, I don't know, go figure. Meanwhile, back in Queens, the realness and foundation. If I die, I couldn't choose a better location. When the slugs penetrate, feel a burning sensation. Getting closer to God in a tight situation now. Take these words home and think it through, or the next rhyme I write might be about you. Son, they shook, cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, cause ain't no such things as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. Living the life that is diamonds and guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn nuns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones. Shook ones. He ain't a crook, son. He just a shook one. For every rhyme I write, it's 25 to life. There was so much to get to trust, safeguard on my life. Ain't no time for hesitation, that only leads to incarceration. You don't know me, there's no relation. Queensbridge, if you don't play, I don't got time for your petty thinking. My son, I'm bigger than those. Claiming that you pack heat, but you're scared to hold. And once the smoke clears, you be left with one and you don't. 13 years in the projects, my mentality is what, kid? You talk a good one, but you don't want it. Sometimes I wonder, do I deserve to live? Or am I going to burn the hell for all the things I did? No time to dwell on that, cause my brain reacts. Front if you want, kid, lay on your back. I don't fake jazz, kid, you know I bring it to your life. Stay in a child's place, kid, you out of line. Criminal minds thirsty for recognition. I'm sipping, E and J got my mind flipping. I'm bucking, digging my ways out of hope for hustling. Get that loot, kid, you know my function. As long as I'm alive, I'ma live illegal. And once I get on them, I put on all my peoples. React quick, spill lyrics like Max, I hit your domo. When I roll up, don't be gon' sleep because I'm free.
Son, they shook, this ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, this ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Living the life that comes with guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn guns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones. Shook ones. He ain't a crook, son. He just a shook one.
Hello, hello. We're back once again. I forgot that we didn't like say who we were. So I'm Sophie 2, I guess. I'm Jay. Hello.
I'm Michael. Hello.
I'm Danny. Are you she, her?
Shout out.
Shout out, Danny.
Shout out, she, her.
I also do the Indigenous Collective show Unceded Airwaves, and Jay and I have a show Lethal Refresh, both on Mondays. And I've been into the Discord archive since before anything was really happening with them. And I remember finding Elements and freaking out. Pretty much everything I found in the archives, I just find and freak out. And I'm like, does anyone know about this? A few people did know about Elements, luckily. So it wasn't one of those moments where it's like, oh, I just unearthed something. But yeah, first finding these, I remember showing Jay right away. So I was really excited about them. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's always really cool looking through it. Jay showed me like the D'Angelo Brown Sugar ad. They had an ad for D'Angelo's Brown Sugar because I think, yeah, Brown Sugar came out in 1995.
Yeah.
It was so cool to me because D'Angelo's like my favorite singer of all time. It was so nice to see that being played.
I thought we could talk a little bit about misogyny. Because, these were from 95 to 96. They were pretty early on.
It was a very no girls allowed era.
It seems like it was a very exclusive, like,
a boys club.
Most
things in the music world were.
But, the song we just listened to, we just heard, Shook Ones Part 2 by Mobb Deep, off The Infamous. And they talk about this album in particular because it came out around the time of the first issue. So they talk about this, they interview Mobb Deep. On the first issue. And they started, it's a kind of long interview, but they asked them about how they feel about women. like in general, they're just talking about lyrics and they're like,
surely they'll feel, be so great.
How do you feel about writing lyrics about women?
It'll be just like Dear Mama by Tupac, sure.
It'll be exactly like that. It'll read like.
Exactly
it'll
like
read
that.
Like feminist literature, guys.
Exactly.
And what did they say, Michael?
What did they say?
I'm scared. So,
am I allowed to
say I haven't heard this yet, so I'm a little scared.
Yeah, go for it.
On there. Okay. So the question was, how do you view women in your music and in life in general? To which Prodigy of Mobb Deep responded, well, all women are different. I can't just label all women, period. It depends. Some women are sneaky. Some are nice. Some are not. To which the interviewer responds, you might want to write more about the nice ones. To which Prodigy then responds, true. Good God. True, but I can't write about the nice ones, though, when there are bad ones, too. The interviewer says, yeah, but you can't just focus on the bad ones and ignore all the good ones. Yeah, you gotta talk about everybody. And that's where...
And then they switch the subject.
They switch the subject. Hello. Thankfully so, because I don't think I want to hear more of that.
See, that makes me wonder about the interview with The Roots that was in Discorder, because in the interview, the headline on it, or the header, whatever, is something like about combating misogyny in hip-hop. And I'm wondering what the timeline was and if there was any beef between Elements and Discorder in that, because it wasn't The Roots saying that. It was the Discorder editors and staff that had put, like, a headline that was about, like, misogyny in hip-hop and, like, talking about...
Do you know when The Roots interview was from?
I'll find it. It's on... Also, shout out discorder.archives on Instagram. I run that account. And you can find an awesome gallery of all the goodies I've found in the archives mine. Including the interview that I'm talking about right now. So let me find it.
In the meanwhile, though, I got to read this little thing. At the end, they have like 12-inch reviews, like single reviews, at the end of the first Elements. I'm at the end of all of them. But they were reviewing All I Need by Method Man featuring Mary J. Blige.
Shout out Mary J. Blige.
Shout out Mary J. But they were talking about... They were just talking about her in general. They said, to tell you the truth, this doesn't sound like an average raw or hard-hitting... Method Man 12-inch, although I have to give respect to the man for releasing a song praising a woman instead of degrading or insulting one. Maybe soon more MCs will realize that mentality of respecting and not bagging on the opposite sex.
Oh.
And that was by one of the contributors.
Jesus Enrique Montaldo.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
So it's interesting. There's obviously different views around it at the time, but
it also like the way he's talking about it, it's like he expects to get like a treat and a cookie and a reward for saying that. The interview was June 1995 with The Roots.
So this first issue of Elements came out in May
95,
so they were around the same. That makes sense because that's kind of around when The Roots were starting up.
Yeah, there's a line, we also wanted to turn the whole misogynistic attitude of hip-hop on its head, and that's exactly what we've done.
That's what The Roots said?
So it isn't a headline or a header that was written by the
Oh, so it's a quote.
Yeah, it's a quote, but they formatted it all like crazy, like 90s word art.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, because I remember I listened to this interview with Questlove. I think he was talking, it was his like Red Bull Academy lecture. And I think he was talking about how the Roots before, so they did like a live album with Jay-Z. They did an MTV Unplugged with Jay-Z and they were his backing band. And they mentioned how there was like a lot of hesitancy because like when they came up in the 90s, they were seen almost as like these outsiders of rap compared to the more like what the mainstream would be like. Like, for example, like Tupac in the mid 90s, Nas, Biggie, and artists like that. So I guess that kind of makes sense given that they were more of an out group.
And in this interview, one of the questions is the whole gangster rap cliche. Do you think that's going down with Eazy-E and all? It's just interesting.
Yeah, that was also one of the things they were talking about Eazy-E. In the first, did you see that?
Yeah.
About they were talking about AIDS, yeah. About the AIDS crisis, because Eazy-E had just passed like a few months before that issue. So they put a bunch of quotes from like different rappers, artists, people in the industry about like what they thought about Eazy-E having AIDS.
Whoa, wait, in Elements?
Yeah, in Elements.
Wait, which issue?
It's in the first issue, let's see.
Let's see if we have it. I'm really curious about this because I haven't seen this.
It's the one with Rascals on the front.
I might not have it.
I can go grab it.
Yeah, we'll find it. But yeah, it's interesting just to see what people thought, because some people were really, really actually like supportive of him, and they were like, oh, like it could happen to anyone, like anyone can get it, like be careful. And then some other people were like, I know I don't have AIDS. And personally,
the baby?
Yeah, exactly.
Literally a DaBaby.
Yeah, they're like, I know I don't have AIDS.
Shout out everyone who doesn't.
Yeah, shout out everyone who doesn't, though.
Why did DaBaby do that?
I don't know.
Like, what brought him to... We forgave him, though.
Yeah, the LGBT.
Remember? Remember we forgave him.
Remember when we...
We all came together that one time.
Kay. Yeah.
Oh, it's called Eazy Got AIDS. What's up?
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I think the column is called It's On
but
You.
I can read this while you guys talk about the other things you have. Because there's a lot written down to go over.
Yeah, sure. Did you want to talk about Rap City?
I did want to talk about Rap City. So
what's Rap City?
So Rap City, so if you read issue number 2, the editor's notes, one of the editors, it's either Flip Out or Jay Swing, they talk about how, basically why they wanted to do this, essentially. And long story short, it was to fill in a much needed gap in coverage of hip hop and hip hop culture as well. And one of the things they shout out, the people they shouted out was this show called Rap City. So I looked into it because I was curious about what that was. And turns out Rap City was a TV show on cable TV in Canada that ran from 1989 to 2014 from Much Music. The show's first host was Michael Williams, I believe. And it, basically, one of the creators or the producers, they lobbied really hard to the execs at Much Music to basically say, the person's name was Michelle Geister. Michelle Geister was a producer on the show. And they lobbied really hard because they felt like, hey, guys, like, I feel like this is like long overdue by this point. And so they lobbied and lobbied and lobbied, and eventually they got a show. And it was basically, it was kind of groundbreaking, honestly, because it was the first of its kind in the country. And yeah, and it was literally on cable TV. It came out of a previous radio show that was airing from 1984 onwards. I believe it was also called Rap City as well. And from then on, it initially started as a once-a-week show, but then eventually they expanded all the way to, like, 5 half-hour shows per week. But unfortunately, it got canceled in the beginning of 2014 due to staff cuts and also just there were just less music videos in the schedule for Rap City, yeah.
Damn.
But 25 years?
25 years.
That's pretty insane.
That makes sense. I feel like we were all alive during, like, the fall of the music video, too. Because, like, when I was a child, I'd see music videos on TV all the time. And then, like, 10 years ago, they were, like...
I was a little Christian kid, so we didn't get to watch MTV.
Sorry.
That's awesome, though, because I don't, like, generally... I always think of music video childhoods as something from generation just before me. So that's interesting hearing you say that, because I've never like associated that with my generation, I guess just because that wasn't my experience. But that's interesting that you did experience music, because I always thought that that was like before my time, but I guess it was just my parents' censorship.
I mean, I saw a lot of like 2000s R&B stuff. Like that, the music video culture around that was like huge still. But like 2010 afterwards, it kind
of fell out.
Kind of fell out of style.
The last like big music video I kept seeing, there were two. It was DJ Gus like Falling in Love by Usher, and another Usher Raymond banger, Oh My God. And I remember seeing those music videos on like Southeast Asian TV every day. It was just on repeat. They would not stop playing it. But like, you know what? Also, I feel bad, you know, like for like kids growing up nowadays, you turn on the TV, if they even watch TV.
They don't.
And you know,
if they even watch TV.
Literally, if they do.
Those kids these days.
Those kids. But I kind of want to read off some of Chuck D's 18 compelling reasons why Tupac is not
dead. Wait, yeah, go for it. This is going to be awesome.
Number one is, there's a really long, okay, I'll read the. During Chuck D's promotional tour for his new album, The Autobiography of Mr. Chuck, Mr. Chuck himself decided to share his theory on Tupac's passing. It seems that the hard rhymer, capitalized hard rhymer, wasn't that all that convinced that Tupac was gone, and to back up his theory, he stated 18 reasons why. This list came to us via some record label that sent it out with their... That's so fun. Sending out your 18 lists why Tupac, your 18 reasons why Tupac is not dead.
This was like his like religious text that he was sending out.
That sent it out with their servicing, and we thought that all of you Tupac fanatics out there might find this a little bit intriguing. We here at Elements ain't saying that Tupac did in fact fake his death. However, that thought has obviously been on Chuck's mind. Peep the list. Number one, Tupac died on Friday the 13th.
Number one.
That's number one.
Obvious.
Number two, Las Vegas is a payoff city, meaning all sorts of folks have been known to be on the take. That means doctors, press, lawyers, etc. Three, the white Cadillac containing... I love how it's so silly and then it's like so serious. Three, the white Cadillac containing the assailants was never found. How could this be when Vegas is in the middle of the desert? Four, there's a small black community on the north side of town that's only about 8 blocks long. The attackers were black. Where did they go? Where did they hide? Five, the white Cadillac containing the gunman passed it on. Like, some of these are so serious and then other ones are like, it was Friday the 13th.
Wow.
I'm like reading through that right now.
That's how you get your message across, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
16. Tupac's video, I Ain't Mad at Ya, foretold his death.
What?
I mean, it did, clearly. Apparently it did.
God. Yeah, he's out there, and where do people say he is? Cuba?
Cuba? Yeah.
Listen, man, Chuck D made Fight the Power. So whatever he says is... His word is gospel in my book.
I just preach to the choir.
Anyways,
preach. I'm obsessed with how big this guy's head looks.
Oh yeah!
On this
cover,
he's got a dome. Oh my God.
Wow. Wait, what issue is that?
We're looking at the Ghostface issue number 8.
Oh, that was the last
one. Yeah, whose dome is that? I don't know who this guy is.
Whose dome is that? I don't know.
It could be Ghostface, Giroux, Cool DJ, or Red Alert, or Easy Rock.
Cool
or
DJ,
Mobb
Red
Deep.
Alert.
I'm not sure.
Nah, that's not Mobb
that's
Deep.
That's not Mobb Deep. But
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe, I think Ghostface Killah has hair.
This guy's got a bald dome. Like, for the listeners, the art on the cover really makes this guy look like an alien. Like, I just can't put it better than that in the way that, like, an alien's forehead looks. So we're just pretty, like, enthralled by this right now.
Because
I'd be so mad if someone drew me like this.
If
I was bald,
pissed.
Like, I'd never recover.
You know what? That's the last issue of Elements. Maybe that's why they
killed.
They went under.
Oh, that's why they went under. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Whoever that was just wrote a strongly worded letter.
That's
just like that.
That's exactly why they went under.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, I love this song.
You're gonna hear Running by the Far Side off Lab Cabin, California right now. We'll talk about why they went under after. Goodbye.
Respect I used to never get, cause all I got was upset when niggas used to be like, and try to sweat a nigga like the lip. For no reason at all, I can't recall if niggas rolling C's in my face. Down the hall, I'm kicking it in the back of the school, eating chicken at 3. Wondering why's everybody always picking on me. I tried to talk and tell him, chill, I did nothing to deserve this. But when it didn't work, I wasn't scared, just real nervous and unprepared to deal with scrapping, no doubt. My pappy never told me how to knock a nigga out, but now in 95, I was surviving, so man on my own. Fuck around with fat lip, yes, you get blown. I'm not trying to show no macho is shown, but when it's on, then it's on.
Up on his own, can't depend on friends to help you in a squeeze. Please, they got problems of their own. Therefore, they count on 7 chicken shits. Don't get to heaven till they face these fears and these fear zones. Used to get jacked back up in high school. I played it cool just so some real shit won't get full blown. Being where I'm from, they let the smoke come quicker than an evil redneck can lynch a helpless color figure. And as a victim, I am really low key. Still, the keyhole itself got lower than me. So I stood up and let my free form for said I'm gonna get something before they knock it out me. I don't sweat it, I let the bullshit blow in the breeze. In other words, just the breeze, yeah.
Largest educational resource network for new and young ecological farmers in Canada, with a long-term goal to stop farm loss and ensure future generations can farm. YA offers farmer-to-farmer programming to grow the next generation of food growers by creating access to community, education, on-farm training, land, business mentorship, and other resources. Join our network by checking out youngagrarians.org. That's Y-O-U-N, GAGRARIANS.org. Together, let's grow the next generation of viable and ecological farmers on Turtle Island.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for them life when I step into the jungle.
We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Hello. Hello, we're back.
We're back.
We're back. You just heard Runnin' by The Far Side off Lab Cap in California. Great song. That song has a Stan Getz and Luis Bonfa sample called Saudade Vem Correndo. Great jazz samba album if you're into that stuff. And also sampled by JPEG Mafia on the song Dikembe. So
very, on what album?
Very cool. On Offline. Yes. On Offline.
Make
on
sure
LP.
You listen to the Offline version. Sure. Offline version's way better.
And fun little fact, they talk about in their interview with The Far Side, they say, hey, so your album's about to drop. Who did production on it? They say, I did three songs. I don't know specifically who they're talking to here, but I did three songs, traded two, Fatlip did one. This guy named JD out of Detroit did most of the songs. He did some stuff on Busta Rhymes' album too. We all did something. And of course, this is in 95. They're talking about Jay Dilla, who would go on to have an illustrious
career
yeah. producing for everyone from yeah. like Erykah Badu to, I don't know, just everyone. Yeah,
this is how I'm learning D'Angelo that Fatlip was in Far Side. I didn't know that. I knew him separately to the Far Side.
Also, wait,
I was like, what?
If this was in 95. That's before Slum Village, too.
Before Slum Village, yeah. So this is like early Dilla. Rest in peace to Jay Dilla.
What's
rest
up,
in peace.
Fatlip, and I say coolin'.
They were talking about Busta Rhymes. I'm producing for Busta Rhymes.
Yes.
You found a cool Busta Rhymes quote.
I did. It's a 4-page feature. Actually, I'll read this. I'm not going to read that one. That one's boring. The interview was by Freestyle Crazy. This is by the guy who they beefed with. Because in the last issue of Elements, they mentioned this guy by name. I was reading it. They were like talking smack.
Oh, they kicked him out?
Yeah,
right?
They were talking smack about this guy. They name dropped him. And this is him. And, well, I mean, he got to talk to Busta Rhymes and they didn't, so.
If you're ever bored, just read the editor's notes for Elements magazine. You'll
squirm out of your seat.
You will squirm. It is the definition of unfiltered white boy in the 90s.
Oh, white boy who really just wanted to be something he was not.
This is peak Caucasian activities.
But the thing is, he got to LARP. Like, everything was handed to... Yeah. Anyways,
we'll get into it.
But what I wanted to read from Outkast, which this is, like, in reference to his name, and we'll... Not, this is college radio, after all. We are studious. So we might talk a little bit about collectivism versus individualism here. But here's the quote. What I realized about a lot of us people that aren't European and aren't naturally a descendant of the Western civilization, we usually do shit that conflicts with the society structure, that makes us look like outcasts, that makes us feel like we the strange ones. And that's the quote. And it's like centered in the middle to like be highlighted in really big text. Yeah.
That's really awesome.
That's bars. Awesome.
That's bars.
That's deep. Bars. Like that had me thinking a lot about how like family connections and community connections really are the pillars of identity. And this is why it's a problem when white boys LARP like this, because exactly what Outkast is saying.
Yeah. Speaking of that, let's get into their downfall.
Let's get into their downfall a little
let's
bit.
Talk
oh,
about
before that though,
oh, yeah,
on
wait.
The next page, this is just so of the times. Maybe we could, does anyone have access to the CIT Archives show Instagram?
Sophie.
Maybe, because I'm wondering if we could post this.
I don't think I do.
I'm wondering if we could post this on the story.
That's true.
Because
let me take a picture
that's what I'm talking about right now. And hopefully the people could see it. But it's just very of the time, very specific point in history of hip-hop and CITR's relation to it. So it is a print ad taking up like almost half of the left side of a page. It's pretty long, and it's Eazy-E straight off the streets. Eazy-E, the last recorded works of Eazy-E. And then there's a little thing at the bottom that says, listen to CITR 101.9 FM to win a free Eazy-E t-shirt. So they must have been doing because it just says listen to. So different shows, multiple shows must have been like talking about it and doing this giveaway. So I'm really curious about what the attitude at the station around his death was. And like, that seems like it was significant if people were like in the studio giving away shirts on air.
Yeah, I hope that his death like changed the tide in terms of like a lot of people's opinions on
HIV
AIDS.
And AIDS. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like to believe that CITR was always a very progressive place to be.
It's nice to think that.
It is nice to think that.
It's nice to think that I would have been welcomed here, like in the times that I'm obsessed.
Hopefully,
with
yeah. Hopefully,
they probably would have hated me, but
who knows?
But who knows? But that's really, really interesting. It's also just, I mean, we don't have to get too into that, but just I've always thought about that of like Eazy-E's death and AIDS and the way he's like infamous, like misogynist womanizer. And like, I bump Eazy-E, like don't even, like he's my favorite member of NWA. I love Eazy-E, but like some of the lyrics are so, like you're listening to it and you're like, like what is he saying? So it's, yeah, the like politics of that is so, so interesting. But yeah. There's a lot to get into the publishers of this mag.
Shout out Eazy.
Anyway.
So why'd they stop publishing?
Why'd they stop publishing?
Why'd they stop?
Well, for a multitude of reasons. First, long story short, this was just incredibly unprofitable. You really had two guys running the whole thing. It was Flip Out and J-Swing. And it's really too much of a heavy toll to put on these two guys, essentially. I think they were handling publishing, they were handling distribution. I believe they didn't do the art, but they did a lot of the columns as well. I believe they did a lot of the interviews as well. And
well, let me read this out, because this isn't in our doc, but this is on the editor's note of the last issue, and this is what I was just talking about how they were talking smack about the interviewer that we just read from. We had to beat down Freestyle Crazy, because aside from his weak blank interview with Ghost and Cap, we found he was trying to sell Elements Mag out for like $2 or something to a couple of stupid kids out in Surrey. So that's something.
Did you say beat down? We have to beat him down?
Yeah, they said beat down.
What are they talking about?
They were not beating anybody down.
This is like Batman Arkham. They're gonna do like a 10-hit combo on whoever that was.
Yeah. So he got dismissed.
Okay.
And this is their last issue, so they also got dismissed.
Yeah. Well, they were going to work on the 9th issue, which apparently had a very, very bad interview with Jay-Z on it.
Oh.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
What?
Yes. They had a very, very bad interview with Jay-Z. Apparently, it was not a very enthralling read, but apparently, yeah, they had an interview with Jay-Z, and apparently snippets of it are, so they released a coffee table book in 2020 with all this extra information, and the interview with Jay-Z is on there. So if you guys would like to see Flip Out and J-Swing interview Jay-Z, head over to flipandjrecords.com.
Is it in the doc, like a way to access this?
No, because it never got printed.
Mm. But wait, you just said it was available somewhere?
They released a coffee book in 2020, years after.
So that's the only way.
That's the only way.
Where can we?
We gotta get a hold of the coffee.
No, we have to. Like, guys, I'm like.
Me and Sophie were looking at it yesterday, and it's $50, and I think it's sold out right now. But we're CITR. We can pull some strings.
We can.
I feel like someone.
Jay-Z is wild. And how far left did it go? Like, did he call them out? Like, what happened?
No, apparently it was just, if I remember correctly, in the interview they mentioned, it was just not a very.
He was just giving them like one word answer.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah. And so if they wanted to continue doing this, they would have to basically break away from CITR, because it would no longer be a nonprofit thing.
Mm.
And that just wasn't financially feasible. And they were like, you know what? This is the start of my career. Mm-hmm. I want to be a DJ. Do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
And so they called it quits. And there's this like great line from their interview with Discorder in 2020. Where they essentially wonder, like, oh, maybe could we have been more approachable, you know? Like, could we have been more I guess, inviting to new people, to new collaborators. And there's this hilarious quote where they describe their behavior as peak white guy in the 90s. And
they said it themselves. They said not it. Even just not us. Me. Not even just us.
Yeah, we're not.
They up. Said it themselves.
We're not putting. We're not saying anything. They said it. So
they literally they said it themselves. It,
not me.
They self-admitted like LARPing white boys
they
in
were
the 90s.
White boys.
In
and
the
you were
space.
You were talking about word endings. You wanna?
Oh my god!
That it was quite evident to us that I mean, it was quite white guy in the 90s for sure, but
yeah. it's like disgusting in yeah. some points. It's like you can see the way that they tokenize people and the way that they see people. But you're free to say
yeah. It. I mean, all of the basically a lot of words that end in G, they'll just take the G off and then add an apostrophe after the N to make it more like slangy.
Yeah, so they're
or,
saying
like
asking
culturally,
and like I imagine like how asking. He's pronouncing it because he's a white Vancouver boy is like kind of how I am, like asking or asking, even like asking.
Yeah.
That's not, but they will every single time put an N and apostrophe,
and especially when they're talking about lyrics from albums or they're transcribing interviews where the person has said the N word, they use UHZ.
Every time
on the ending,
every so that must have been one of the contributors because it's a consistent
that,
thing.
It's consistent.
So one of these white boys was typing the N word with a
I doubt the find and replace function was that powerful.
No,
no, I guess they wish it was. It's really disgusting. Like looking at the way they transcribe people speaking in AAVE and the way they transcribe themselves, because it's really interesting. Because even when people are saying, like, you can kind of get the vibe in some of the things I've read. I haven't gone back to the article I'm thinking of in particular that I found months ago that I'm thinking of specifically, but it seemed like the way they were typing wasn't the way the person was talking. It seemed almost more like they were putting
like
that
they
on
inserted
them.
It yeah
they inserted it, and then the way they transcribe themselves is really fascinating, because when they're trying to like sound professional, they'll let themselves sound professional, but anybody else they will like transcribe it in such a like derogatory way, and in so like it's just it's so gross.
It's like cosplay almost.
And I'm glad they recognized
yeah at least they like, recognize that, it I know that they run a what a record label, a show now, Flippin' J.
Records, yeah.
And they're doing well. They made a career out of it. So clearly it's something they're passionate about.
Yeah, Flip Out's still a DJ on the 5 o'clock traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
There has been some improvement, but yeah. I mean, it's really cool looking back, and it's really cool looking back at the people they interviewed, but it is really unfortunate, and that's why I haven't posted these on the Discord or Archives account, because it's like too much to fit into one caption unpacking all of this. But
yeah, it is a lot to unpack for such a short running.
Yeah, and it's not just like, oh, fun other Meg from CITR. It's like a lot more complex than that and deserves a lot more care in talking about that.
Yeah, but I agree.
The apostrophes, like the N and apostrophes drive me absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Would you say I feel like it would be because I feel you're more I feel like the two of you are more familiar with the music scene in Vancouver than I am. Would you say like I guess the state of like the way we cover hip hop culture and rap music has improved in the past 30 years,
like in Vancouver or just
yeah or in Canada
or in Canada?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I
feel like
personally
I
think I can speak a little bit on it, but personally, I think that like hip hop in Canada has still stayed like a really underrepresented genre. Like even now,
yeah.
Like there's certain artists, but a lot of people look at like hip hop and rap with like ridicule.
Mm.
Like they're very like specific about like all these rappers suck. Like oh, but there's like these one or two cool rappers that are from Toronto or whatever. Like it's very like contentious. It's not like there's like 50 indie bands in Vancouver and we love all of them. Mm-hmm. Like it's like people pick and choose what they like and people don't like, I don't know. I don't think they talk about it that much here. Like I've never known like big Canadian stars really in the hip hop world. Many big Canadian stars. Like there are some.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I'd say.
Yeah, I definitely don't I don't think I'm familiar enough with like the hip-hop scene then or now to say anything. But I like the things I want to say about why things might have seemed better then might literally just be fetishization everywhere that wasn't actually like care or understanding for anything. It was more just like people fetishizing things. So I don't know. It's like very conflicting in many ways.
Yeah, we actually one thing is we had there was a group performing at Cazzolano.
Oh.
Like the block party that they have in the summer.
Yeah.
And I was doing interviews with artists there, and they were interviewing this like rap group. It was like a few guys, and they were talking about CITR. They used to come to CITR in the early 90s to do rap battles.
Whoa. Wow.
So they were talking about the scene in Vancouver, and they said it was like really going off. Like the scene in Vancouver
like
was
right
like
now or back then?
No, back then.
In the 90s.
They said it was like really happening. Like it was like like a big deal, but it really didn't get much coverage.
Yeah. I mean, even like cracking open an Elements and just looking at it, there's advertisements galore for things in Vancouver. I think one of my most endearing thing that I found was the spray can art competitions before it was called like spray paint or graffiti even. They would call it spray can art. And they would have rap battles and spray can art competitions in Vancouver. And they had advertisements for those in Elements and in regular Discorder.
And they were
cool.
Yeah, they were like huge proponents of like the graffiti scene too.
Yeah. And also like music and radio world at the time was like a very different sphere in space. Like even like just look like this picture, I feel like summarized like this. So much of this was happening in the mid 90s, just like dude on the radio.
Yeah.
And like, there's so much less of that now with like just the kind of death of radio in general.
To piggyback on what you said though, like, for the previous episode, when we did like the overview of CITR, one of the things was in 1990, we hosted Vancouver's first rap competition.
That's what they were talking about.
Chapter One. And apparently people came as far away as LA.
All of this is posted on discorder.archives on Instagram if you want visuals for what we're talking about.
Shout out discorder.archives on Instagram.
Go scroll on there and you'll find everything we're talking about.
Yeah. And I remember we almost, I found out, we almost went under. We almost got taken off because we played Public Enemy in full.
Wow.
I think it was a Fear of a Black Nation that we played.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently we had Ice-T just flipping the bird on the cover. And
oh, wow.
Apparently we got into a lot of trouble for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
That's great. I'm glad to know they were doing things that were getting them in trouble then.
That's a sign.
That makes
sign
me
of good
happy.
Things. I think I got to play this song. I got to play Snakes. I got to play Snakes by Old Dirty Bastard. Yeah, we got to play Snakes.
What does it sound like? Who is it?
It's Old Dirty Bastard from Wu-Tang Clan. Album's called Return of the 36 Chambers, the dirty version. And they interviewed him.
Let's get into it.
In one of the Elements. So, goodbye.
The outside. And then they roll back into their holes. They slither in the streets of Brooklyn, New York. Slither in the streets of Manhattan. In the streets of Queens. Streets of the Bronx. Streets of Staten Ave. Wherever you see them, they slither. Whoever. Yo. This was some shit. But check it out. Yo. Yo. It broke me up when they pat me on my shoulder. Said stay strong cause his life is now over. I flash back to the heathens that he rolled with. They shot him up and now nobody knows shit. My peers, little ears. He came up to me with an eye full of tears. Last night we were shooting dice and getting nice. Kid rolled us and played us for our merchandise. We were in the hallway all day. Me, Steve, and Little Ray. Probably at first they tried to rob me. Back me in the lobby. Pull out the shoddy. Then came Scotty. Fragile body. My first impression, he returned from a party. He was just stagger, smelling like McCarty. The dragon, bragging how he was fucking mad hotties. Pressed on the elevator button. And all of a sudden, he licked off about a dozen. Slugged from the cannon that ripped through my cousin. And no one was standing when the niggas started busting. Blood started to flood the floors by the elevator door. That's the last thing that I saw. Damn, we plan to make grands in our home.
Number two. a jagged edge, rockhead guard, hard as stone edge. Pledge, whoever crosses path is cracked with a sledge. Hammer, he didn't give a damn about the manor. Known the block, he was called by the mamas and the grandmas. Indecent, heathen, juvenile delinquent. His weekends was frequently locked inside the precinct. His most recent case for catching pace was snatching up snakes on the roof, butt naked, hang them off like drapes. The Nats was the combination to the safe with the brace. And those who didn't reply, they fell straight to their face. Raise the blade sharp, who invades the dark. And wait more spots than spades and narcs. Iron heart like Tony Starks. A fierce lion, will never leave the grip without the iron. And on the block, he be slinging rocks and ducking from the sirens. Greeting niggas he love with a pound and a bear hug. Those who want a like, they catch a slug from the snug. A 5%, who only knew was 1 to 10. He loved the guards with his heart, but his brain was filled with sin. And when he came through, niggas be looking out. Hoping he gets shot or taken out. Or locked the fuck up in Brooklyn House. And PC on a liquid diet, but he was louder than a riot.
Yo, due to knowledge to a nigga named Trigger, bad rude boy from the lands of Jamaica, with visions to venture to the U.S. to receive the gold that he couldn't achieve in his country, even though he sold mad weed for the next man who was the dawn of the clan. Niggas acting like they got the block locked, like I can't sling drug raps and eat food, but I be the rudest bad boy stepping gun toting. Shot slash out like a violent explosion at the nigga who tries to stop my production, intervene the scene and slow up the cream. None of that black East New York gun talk. Niggas I extort from Bortic to Boardwalk. Memories of injuries, wounds and burns. Walking through the streets of Medina, I stand firm, cause I know this, which means I can hold mine down without a doubt. Niggas who front get snuffed out. Justice must be born, there's no escape, cause a snake can't be reformed, so I wait. Coming in the name to proclaim your fame for protection, and you don't know no fucking lessons.
Bad, bad Leroy Brown, baddest man in the whole damn town. Badder than the deep blue sea, badder than you and me. Niggas coming through the trees like a salamander, biting like a piranha, but I'm biting your back like a Black Panther. The style I'm amping the, fuck my name, who I be. Fuck the game, it's all about the money. Sometimes I get high with the meth, then I turn to the killer priest. When it come 12 o'clock, I turn into the demon beast. Yo,
fuck that shit. Yo, show these motherfuckers what time it is.
I'm really envisioning his facial features while spitting these bars.
I know. ODB really has had a crazy life, crazy inflections.
Like, he's spitting all over that mic. Like, there's, like, saliva everywhere.
Oh, for sure.
Oh. Apparently his son is called Young Dirty Bastard. I love that.
It's characteristic.
That reminds me of, Forces, I'm native, this is fine. But there's, like, this chief, Big Bear, who my family is, history with. But his son was named Little Bad Man, and I think about that all the time. Like, God. What do you have to do to get the name Little Bad Man?
Jeez.
So what's Mr. Senior's name and Junior's name?
Senior's name is Russell Tyrone Jones.
No, I mean, the silly thing you just said.
Old Dirty Bastard. And his son is Young Dirty Bastard.
That's what I meant. Yeah. The way you went to the full name.
Yeah. It's like Junior and Senior.
Yeah, I know. That's how I was like, what's Junior's name?
Oh,
what's
my
Senior's
God.
Name?
Yo, Junior's full name. His middle name is Unique.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Barson Unique Jones.
That's awesome.
There we go.
Wow. There's a really good video by Intellectual Media on a Black American history of names. It's really cool. Everyone
yes.
should watch it.
I know that video. It's a good video. You just heard Snakes by Old Dirty Bastard off Return to the 36 Chambers. Shout out to him.
Shout out to Old Dirty.
Shout out to Elements that we covered today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this gives you some more insight.
Some context.
Also, shout out to our fallen soldier, Sophie, who could not make it here today.
But this one goes out to Sophie.
Maybe, no. Shout out Sophie. Maybe shout I out. Will actually post these interviews now that we've done this episode on Discord or Archives. I might, I'm not saying that 100%, but I'm considering it and then just referring people to this episode in the caption.
Yeah.
I really want to shed light on these interviews because they're just sitting in our boxes and they're so cool.
Yeah, they're really awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for hopping in the time machine. Unfortunately, we've arrived at your stop, so you've got to.
We've arrived.
You've got to get out of the car.
But we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the 90s. You can stay right here in 2025, and we'll bring you along next time we get in the time machine.
But hope you enjoyed, and we'll see you next time. Bye. Goodbye.
We Outside presents Lost in Paradise,